All right. Well, welcome back to the Cat Case History session for the program, Client Assessment Tools for Holistic Practitioners. We are here with our second case of the day. We actually spent probably close to 3 hours on our first case of the day. It was very in-depth, and I think we covered a lot of ground there. In addition to showing adrenal stress, we showed the thyroid. We had homocysteine issues. We looked at a lot of different things in that case, so it was really indicative, and we also had a split-second view of a hair analysis, plus we had a digestive analysis. So it kind of covered a broad range of a lot of the things we've covered so far. The next case we're going to do, we don't have quite as much in-depth information. This was one that was submitted by Debbie Silverman, and this is her mom. And to just give you a little background before we look at her case, from what I understand, Debbie's mom is in a nursing home, so she doesn't have really as much control over her food as she could, and she's got, the victim of multi-medication. Debbie's trying to help her with more alternative means, and even as an MD, Debbie is an MD, she's learning more functional medicine stuff. She still is not able to get her mom to do a lot of the stuff she wants us to do. So those of us who are frustrated and thinking, well, if only I was an MD, I could get my mom to do it. If only I had the degrees behind my name. It doesn't much matter. There's something in that relationship between the doctor patient and the mom and child. And they don't go well and they don't blend well together. Same thing whether it goes, from me as the mom to my children. I have a little bit more control over that because for the first, 18 years of their lives, they're stuck living with me and eating the food I make. It's a little bit different when it goes the other way, and I didn't have much control over my mom. So we're going to look at this case. So she's a female. She's 85 years old. She's very little. She's 5'9", 135 pounds, so she's a little bit overweight, maybe 30 pounds overweight, would you say that?
Yeah, yep. Probably 25 at least. She 25. Used to be 5 feet, 5'1".
Yeah, and that's what happens as people age and Fresh their track. Skeleton is not in good shape and they don't have good bone density, they tend to shrink. So she's a retired bookkeeper. She's single. She has 3 children. Severe osteoporosis, right? We guessed that right away because she shrunk. She's had 6 fractures of her lumbosacral spine and iliac, and the last 2 occurred just from bending over. So she has severe osteoporosis, severe. Do they have her on Fosamax for that or some sort of medication?
They did, and I pushed to get her taken off that after I suffered erosive esophagitis from being on Fosamax for my osteoporosis. I just got very disenchanted with all the bisphosphonates, and I wanted her off that. I was trying to get her on supplement substitutes. I convinced her it was dangerous. Her doctor got mad at me.
Okay. But she is off of it, but she's not on the supplements at this point, or what's the status?
Well, as we go through later, I'll show you some of the supplements. I've introduced a little at a time, but they gave her her second Prolia injection several days ago.
Okay.
Against my objection, the Prolia is a newer one that's an every 6-month injection, which means if you have a problem, you can't undo it.
You can't undo it for 6 months. Holy
right.
cow.
Right.
Okay. Well, I'll refresh. If there's any questions you've gone through, I'll just go through it. I tend to get curious, right? So
she's in an independent living facility. So she, although she gets around with a walker, she's not quite as disabled as someone who's assisted living or nursing home.
Okay.
She's active and ambulatory and gets out and about.
Okay. But they have a cafeteria that she gets her meals
right.
at.
Right, dining hall, yep.
Okay. Does she also have a kitchen or access to a refrigerator or any place where she can prepare food?
She does, just very hard to get to shopping.
Okay.
And doesn't have the energy to prepare much. She falls asleep if she sits still too long.
Okay.
It's that bad.
Okay. And have you had conversations with the folks at the assisted living about nutrition and about, your mom's needs and actually the needs of every other person that's living in there?
No, not yet. I have to take it one step at a time. We know the director, who's pretty good, and we've been working on one thing at a time, and nutrition's a big issue for many of them, absolutely.
Oh,
and I would like to. It just hasn't been the right timing yet.
Right, right. Okay, great. She's widowed, 2010, dad died of bladder cancer, long complicated history. Okay, so here's some highlights. Osteoporosis for over 20 years. DEXA scores, the most recent DEXA scores in May 2012 ranged from 2.4 to 3.1 on the femoral neck, 0.8 on the lumbar vertebrae. Would you give everybody, I would love to have you give everybody an explanation of those, because I think you can give it, do a good job
of
what those numbers mean.
Those numbers are based on a healthy 20-year-old. God knows why they use that as the standard. Minus 1.5 is a score that indicates osteopenia, not quite osteoporosis, but getting thin. And it's just based on density. It doesn't say anything about the resilience or the health of the bone, just the density.
Right.
Minus 2.5 qualifies as osteoporosis, and minus 3.5 is severe. Actually, what's interesting is my number is worse than hers right now. I am at minus 3.5 myself on supplements, including strontium, which I can't get her to take because she doesn't want to have to juggle it separate from her minerals. And I fell on my left side a year and a half ago, right on my hip and knee, did not fracture my hip, and just got a patellar fracture. And here she is with numbers not as bad as mine. She bent over to pick up a shoe, didn't quite reach, and wham, felt something and hurting, just like from bending over.
Yeah, clear that the density is not the big picture, the whole picture.
It's not the whole story, right?
Right. And has she had the NTX checked of you, too?
No, I've been trying to deliberate if it's worth getting metabolic urinary, you know, byproducts. The guy who does them here is... They're all so conventional. If I tell him I'm taking 10,000 units of vitamin D, he'll freak out.
Well, you don't have to tell him.
He's going to ask.
You can lie.
Anyway, I've got her taking, I bumped her up to 10,000, and as you'll see later, I added vitamin K2, magnesium. You know, she's doing a lot of good stuff, but I have to do one at a time and
one
give her enough
time. Okay.
So
really what you're looking for here is what would be the next most effective step that you can take, because it sounds like you're doing a lot of stuff for her.
Yeah. I'm in a bind with the osteoporosis, but I'm convinced we could do some very different things for the thyroid, if she would let me.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. So she's on calcium, magnesium, high-dose D, K, multi. The life extension's a good one. Got her off Fosmax a year ago. Twisted her torso, sustained fractures. Oh, God. So she's had a lot of fractures. Got the Prolia 6 months ago. And, again, have they redone her stuff after that? Do they do that, like every time before they give her another shot, do they retest her?
No, but I could not find the last DEXA scan, but like I say, I remember the numbers were not quite as bad as mine.
Okay. So they're definitely showing
And she's had multiple MRIs, CAT scans showing multiple compression fractures everywhere from, you know, T9 to L5 or something, and they couldn't even repair the last fracture at T9. It's too high up. They don't want to risk it. They do a procedure called kyphoplasty where they inject a cement that stabilizes the fracture. It gives a much quicker mobility within a couple days. There are some doctors who believe in it, some who don't. She got fairly good results with most of them, but they couldn't repair the sixth fracture. So she was in pain for 6 weeks.
Okay. And the other thing I would be looking at, I'm not familiar with kyphoplasty, but if they're injecting, I'd be looking at what's the toxicity, and you'd have to weigh out the toxicity of the material getting into your bloodstream and what kind of damage it could do versus, and that's something to really look at. So hypothyroidism was diagnosed 40 years ago. Only Synthroid for the last 30. She got Armour decades ago, but now she's on only Synthroid. And recall, guys, that that's T4 only. Monitored with conventional, mostly TSH. Doesn't think antibodies were ever tested. Nearly off all the classic signs of hypothyroidism. So she has a normal TSH. Is it normal, like, by our standards, or is it normal, like, below 5.5 or...
I can't remember, and I think somewhere she sent me a 1.6, and I don't know what it was. I don't know if it was, I think it was T4 or something. It wasn't even TSH. But the important
thing. Well, that might matter because T4 at 1.6 is horrendously low, and TSH at 1.6 is.
Yeah, I can't remember. She just had very, very little, few and far between. But I took your thyroid history from the class, and I went through it knowing what her symptoms are. She has like 90 to 95% of all the symptoms of hypothyroidism.
And that's on medication, right? So there's
on
clearly
medication.
Something beyond a deficiency of T4 going on here, right?
Right, which so made me think initially a conversion issue, but it could be receptor stuff too. I haven't
And that's usually tested, the conversion issue, by getting T3 levels. So if you can get somebody to do her T3 levels, right, you can do her T3, her free T3 would be great to see because that'll tell us what's reaching her tissues. Okay. So, and the other thing, it could be binding. I mean, it's probably not excess estrogen at her age. It's unlikely to be there, but certainly receptor stuff because of long standing. And certainly the kind of subclinical approach where you said her temperatures are 97.2 no matter when you take them, which means that she's got a low temperature there. So she's clearly not responding properly to this, even if the TSH is quote-unquote normal.
She lives in Fort Lauderdale and keeps the temperature on 78 and would probably keep it at 80 when I'm not visiting and uses a heating pad to warm her feet at night.
Clearly, there's some thermo problems, yes, in Florida, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So dry skin, never sweats, constipation, lateral eyebrows, sometimes plethoric myxedema's appearance. And myxedema is that swelling of the ankles, but it's not a pitting edema. It's a thick edema.
Yeah, it's more a facial edema. I have a photo of her from 5 years ago, and it's amazing. She looks better now, actually, than she did then.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow.
Like a puffy appearance of
real
the face.
Real puffy, yep.
Mm-hmm.
She eats like a bird, can't lose weight, or sitting horses. Now, biggie, right, if you suspect that this person has antibody stuff and you can't get the doctors to check it, I always assume... I act as if, right? Act as if she has an autoimmune disease. What would you do if she had an autoimmune disease? So you're back and say, okay.
Get her on a gluten-free diet.
Get her on a gluten-free diet. Get her on anti-inflammatory nutrition. Make sure you probably already have her on omega-3s, but we'll get to that in a bit.
Yeah.
Okay. So we're going to look at antibodies, conversion, and receptor. So if we can't get the person to do the testing, right, or there's a reason, and Debbie and I had that conversation over lunch, but we can definitely look at, let's act as if she's got an antibody problem, a conversion problem, and a receptor problem. You know, we can't really go wrong with that, and there's a lot of overlap with the ways that we would approach it. So she also has hypertension, no kidding, with this many years of uncontrolled thyroid problems, sure. She's had an MI with 5-vessel CABG. Is that a... Coronary artery
bypass graft. And by the way, the symptom that got me more in tune to the thyroid is a worsening hoarseness over the last 6 to 9 months. And it's so bad. She went to an ENT who looked at her vocal cords and said, you're fine. And I'm thinking they're not even talking about recurrent laryngeal nerve, which can be from a tumor at the apex of the lung. That's the nerve that goes to the vocal cords. That could cause hoarseness. They didn't look at anything except directly at the vocal cords. And I'm thinking, wow, the thyroid could do this.
And that's the thing about conventional diagnosis. Part of me thinks, okay, what we want to use conventional medicine for is these great diagnostic tools. And there are a lot of great diagnostic tools. But the unfortunate thing is that they're not being utilized. So you'll have your people that are coming to you saying, well, I had this symptom and that, and you'll ask, well, did you have this checked and that checked? No, they just kind of looked at me and said, you know, okay. So I'm like, what? For example, my son, he's been away. I went to visit him last week. He's never been sick. He's always a well kid, but he's, you know, on cafeteria food, and he's at college, and he's studying like crazy and not sleeping enough, and he's had this cold that won't go away, and I went out to hear him. He's hoarse. He's coughing, and his friends are saying, you should go to the doctor. He goes, what am I going to do? They're going to go to the doctor. They're going to look at my throat. They're going to give me antibiotics. I don't need antibiotics. It's probably viral, you know. And so they're urging him to go to a doctor. Well, he knows, and I know. It's like I'm thinking, oh, maybe we should take him in to get checked. I'm thinking, they're not going to do anywhere near as thorough an evaluation as I would do. So this is what's happening. When you'll be so equipped, and you are already with what you're learning in this class, to do a much more thorough investigation than most doctors do. Not that they don't know how, probably, but they just, it's not within the mode. This is, it's like, it's not socialized medicine here, but it's this whole HMO type of thing where it's get them in, get them out, ask a few questions, give them a medication to shut up their symptoms, and send them on their way. So this is a clear example. Somebody goes in with hoarseness, their vocal cords look fine. Instead of looking for, okay, what else, as Debbie said, what else causes hoarseness, they're just saying, okay, your vocal cords are fine, there's nothing wrong with you. I mean, hoarseness, that could be, it could be reflux. It could be reflux esophagitis. Well, that, yeah, that would probably cause some reddening, and they probably would have seen that. But the thyroid, big deal, it's huge. So let's see what else. The stenosis, she's got hyponatremia, huh, okay.
And this has been another big mystery. This has been a big mystery since the bypass. She had 6 hospitalizations that year, and the sodium never came up to normal again. And she's been through 2 workups for syndrome of inappropriate ADH, and they never really felt it was really that. They sort of throw up their hands, and I don't understand enough endocrinology to have figured out, but that's where she stabilized out at. She was sometimes as low as like 125.
Well,
and really scary, low numbers, yeah.
Yeah, so not
and,
the numbers that...
Go ahead. Yeah, as you'll see from the lab numbers that I think you have, the sodium's low, the chloride's low. You know, there's a bunch of those numbers that have just stayed in that range since she had the heart attack and the bypass.
And the potassium, too?
We'll look at that.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
We'll look at that.
Okay. So mild incontinence, some dry mouth medication. You know, so many things are side effects from medications, and when people are in the polypharmacy range, that's a really big thing you need to be asking about. If nothing else, you need to be asking about their medication history and their supplement history. All right, so she's had facial skin cancer, so clearly her immune system is disrupted, right? She's just not able to kill off the basal cell carcinomas or whatever else comes up as they come up, like most of us do. A structure of the pancreatic biliary, holy cow, they put a stent in there.
Yeah, this was when they were diagnosing the fracture. There was a stricture there, and the radiologist interpreted very few things can cause this other than a carcinoma of that duct. So they had a GI guy come in who attempted to get a biopsy. He couldn't get a good one, and they wanted her to come back for a CT PET scan in a month. And she came back. It was an all-day ordeal, and they screwed it up. And they said, don't worry, we'll do it again, no charge. And she told them where to shove it.
Oh, my goodness gracious. How long ago was this, Debbie?
That was June 2010, 3 months after my dad died. She was, like, stuporous, taking her meds at night. I think she fell asleep standing up and fell, and that's when she got the first 2 fractures and ended up in the ER a week later.
Okay.
And
so the thing about it being
her,
a carcinoma, it's unlikely that it was a carcinoma causing that stricture because it would have developed into something more serious by now, right?
Yes, except that I put her on poly-MVA, which it turns out was invented by my high school mentor, Dr. Merrill Garnett, as the inventor of poly-MVA.
Mm-hmm.
And because of my personal relationship with him, I put her on that, and she actually had abnormal liver function several years back from fatty liver disease, and her liver functions now are normal. I think the poly-MVA has helped.
Tell people about poly-MVA and what that is and how you believe that that's helped.
Poly-MVA is a new class of compounds called electrogenetics compounds. Dr. Garnett, who believes that electron transfer is like the root of all energy stuff, and his premise was coming up. He spent 40 years researching this and created a compound that is, a bond. It's actually bonded between palladium and lipoic acid. And research done by Dr. James Forsyth in Nevada has shown that stage 4 cancers, all the adult cancer patients who he's had taking poly-MVA are getting an average 50% five-year survival rate from stage four. That's when they say, go home and get your affairs in order, compared to conventional therapies for stage four, which is a 2% survival rate.
Right.
I think those are pretty damn good numbers.
Pretty, yeah.
And when I begged my mother to go back to repeat the test and she refused, I said, I'll make you a deal. If you'll take Dr. Garnett's poly-MVA, I'll stop bugging you about the test. And she did.
She did. So it could be that that's exactly what she had, and now it's gone because of the internet.
Might be, and we'll never be sure.
You'll never know. And who cares? She's here.
Right.
Right. Exactly. Sometimes you just need to, take it and move on.
The only thing about the poly-MVA is that you can't take other supplements that have more than 100 milligrams of alpha-lipoic acid while you're on it because it interferes with the binding. So I had to take her off the life extension vitamins, and I spent months searching till I found the VitaPro or whatever I've got her on now doesn't have the alpha-lipoic acid. Almost all the good combination multivites are starting to add alpha-lipoic acid, which is good in most cases. I feel that poly-MVA is so important. I had to find something that would get her the vitamins without the lipoic acid.
Right. Now, is it available now to the general public, or do you still have to have it in with your mentor?
Oh, you can purchase it through AMARC, and I would caution people, they're wonderful. The distributors, they're the only authorized distributor, but there's been some stuff going on. People are putting it on the internet, a watered-down version, and people are dying. So Dr. Garnett, I've spoken with him personally, said only buy it from AMARC.
Okay. And it's available without a prescription, or does it require a prescription?
Yes, but you must not say it's for cancer because the FDA will take it away from them. You have to say, I want it as a supplement. I happen to have cancer, but I understand it's a supplement. It energizes healthy cells at the expense of cancer cells. So
great.
I take it preventively. My mother takes an intermediate dose, and someone who's full-blown advanced cancer would take a much higher dose.
Okay, great. It's worth looking into. All right, great. So you've got her on, they've got her on a lot of medications. Look at all this. Have you done interactions to see what, or side effects and problems with each of these things so you can see what's causing what?
I haven't got a template other than going to Dr. Sinatra's website, which I'd like to do to plug in. I haven't put it all together, but she's got so much side effects from all of this stuff, I'd love to get her off half of it. When we went to do her adrenal stress index, she was so dry that it literally took an hour to get the morning specimen, and they wrote back on the report, we think you put the wrong times in. Well, no, it really took an hour of me coaching and urging her to keep spitting,
Wow. And that was 2 years ago, right? It looked like 2011 when she did that. Okay.
Yeah.
And you're saying Sinatra's website has something you can plug the drugs into?
I think it's at Sinatra who has a web link where you can plug in the medicines you have. I can't remember, but I might be, while we're talking today, I might be able to pull it up. I might have entered it on my database someplace.
Things like that are invaluable.
Yes.
Because you're not going to keep up with the medication. You know, no matter what unless you're a pharmacist who has to do it as part of your job, you're not going to keep up with it. There's always new medications, and this one replaces that, and there's a lot of side effects, and there's a lot of interactions, and one doc doesn't know what the other doc's doing, or they do, but they don't really know that medication because they're a foot doctor and the other one's a gut doctor. And so you have to really be able to look at these things and what are some of the interactions, not only with the medications, but with the nutrients. So if a particular medication impairs the absorption of vitamin C, well, you want to be looking at how am I going to get vitamin C into this person? Can I do it separate time? Do I have to do it in an injectable? You're really looking at how the medications can impair because you're not legally licensed to take them off the medication. Even Debbie, who's an MD, she's not licensed to take her mom off the medication because she didn't put her mom on that medication. And you can get in a lot of trouble if you tell people to stop their medication, but you can't get into a lot of trouble if you say, oh, by the way, gabapentin causes interruption in the folate process, and here's what you need to do instead is to take this methylfolate supplement to make up for that. There used to be some software that I had, and I've gone through so many iterations of it. I even had them on those little tiny hard disks. They were the big floppy disks. I even have a program that's I can't use it. There's no computer that even accepts it and probably doesn't run on any levels. But they use those big disks. And then I have another one that's on the little disk. And it's so ridiculous to even get a program like that that's in a hard version. You want it to be something that's online that's constantly updated. And I would love to, I'm going to look into how do we find that so that we can plug in, because it's a long and tedious process to look up every medication and to look to see what all the interactions and problems are. But you really do need to, especially if you decide you want to work with these senior populations and that are using conventional medicine. So look at the list. I mean, I've had this happen. I had one time a woman come in. She was 35, and she had a list of medications this long. And within 2 months, we had her down to one, her thyroid medication, and she was, you know, bound and determined to get off of that. But it was going to take a little while longer to get her off the gluten and, you know, have her off the gluten long enough and some of the other things to get off of that. But anyway, she moved away.
I found the main website for good. Dr. Sinatra is drsinatra.com. And I have a note here that there's a drug interaction guide on the website. And he even allows you to suggest additional medications you want to add that they'll put into the system.
Great. Wonderful. Could you type that in? Would you be willing to type that into the chat box so everybody else can see it? And we'll make sure we make a copy of this chat box. Thank you, Debbie. So she's on all these medications, Synthroid for her thing, Prilosec for GERD, oxycodone for pain, Glibrozide for diabetes. So is she diagnosed with diabetes or insulin resistance or metabolic syndrome or?
Oh yeah, she's diabetic. Yeah, but she's never been on insulin, and actually her hemoglobin A1Cs have come down from 6.7 to 6.1, and I think she said it was 5.9 just recently.
Okay, so she's keeping it under control fairly well with the medication. Mm-hmm. However, she's eating foods here. You said before she's eating pasta. Is she off of sugar? I mean, there's so many things here, right, if we were to go through this one by one by one to get her. Whew. Okay.
Yeah, and we're also at a point where she's so overwhelmed, exhausted, and sick and tired of everything that I can't push her to take away her few pleasures in life, which is her chocolate cake. And
well, you can teach her how to, you can make her and ship her some chocolate cakes from, like, you know, Before Be Gone style chocolate cakes. The stuff that's delicious, that's low glycemic. But I think if you go to my blog, you'll even see I've put up some fudge recipes or brownie recipes that are low glycemic.
Okay.
So just go out to the blog and look for those. And play with it and make it. You can always freeze it and send it to her really good stuff. When we, at the Spring Into Vitality event, we had this just amazing, it was a pie. It was called Mudslide Pie. I mean, people were just swooning over it. It was completely low glycemic, completely vegan, completely all good fats in it, really yummy stuff. And one of the recipes I have on the blog has some chia seeds in the brownie. It's like a brownie with kale, and you can turn that into chocolate cake. Or she likes chocolate. You could just send her the nice, big, thick brownies, and people love it. It's got kale and spirulina and chia seeds in it. So, yes. So here's the deal. When you're dealing with people who have they want their pleasures, you teach them how to do their pleasures in a different way. Like Maura said earlier, you know, wanting that dark chocolate. Well, go make some of those chocolate recipes. Remember the recipe we had at Spring Into Vitality when Karen did that little demo, and then we gave everybody a little sample of it. That was amazing. You have that recipe. We'll soon be making the videos and the recipe guide from that program for people who couldn't make it available. And you can make those, keep them in your freezer. You can do that, you know, especially if you go down and visit her ever, you can go down there and make her a bunch of stuff and just stick it in her freezer so that she has her treats that keep her blood sugar regulated. So, especially
great
ideas. Stuff like carob, which helps the insulin receptors, and the chia, which helps the insulin receptors. You can put some cinnamon in. You can squirt some liquid chromium in there. There's a whole bunch of stuff you can, like, sneak into these and make them not only great treats but therapeutic as well.
You know, there's another product. I don't know if anybody's familiar with Dr. Mayer Eisenstein's website. He's got a product called Coco Pro, a chocolate superfood that he uses with his HCG diet that is it's low glycemic. I'm trying to see what's in it and what's not in it.
Tell me the name of the website again, Mayer.
It's homefirst.com, HOMEFIRST.com, and that's where I get my vitamin D3 that includes probiotics right in the capsules.
Oh, cool. Okay, we'll take a look at that. Thank you. Great resources we're getting today. So she's got all this other stuff. So she's loaded with problems, right? She's got GERD. She's got low thyroid. She's having chronic pain. She's got diabetes. She's got hypertension, incontinence, edema. She's on Lasix. She's on diuretics, potassium to compensate for losses from the diuretics. Oh, man. And then constipation. So, oh, God. Well, the constipation's
more and I just want to add that in spite of all this, my sisters take her out to theater and dinner, and that when I'm with her, half the time she can still beat me at Scrabble. Legitimate.
Oh, man, that's great. That's great to know. And I can hear from you, I mean, I can feel it from you, that you just so want her to be enjoying her life and not having so much pain and being on so many medications.
Yep.
Okay. So you've got her on some good stuff. You've got her on the PolyMVA. You've got her on Silver Biotics. I just got my son on that last year. Last week, because he was his brain in his throat, and it made a huge difference between day one and day when I left. So this flu vaccine, oh, God, they're constantly giving people with impaired immune systems flu vaccines, beta-glucan to prevent infections, D3, and that's the capsule, the one that you just mentioned that you're taking?
Yes, and it's a tiny little capsule that's easy for older people to swallow, too, for 5,000 units in this little capsule. I love it.
Okay. So is it liquid inside the capsule so rather than a
powder?
It is a powder. Mm-hmm. Okay, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
So it's somehow micellized in such a way that it gets in easily? That makes it water-soluble? Boy, she takes all this stuff, and she does it. Probiotics, omega-3s.
The probiotic was just after they gave her, when she got sick with the pneumonia, they insisted she take a Z-Pack or something else. She got nausea and stuff, and immediately when we went to pick up the antibiotic, I said, if you're going to take this, let's get a probiotic. I think that'll help you. So she was on it for like a month, and there's some probiotic in the vitamin D, so she's getting a little bit every day from that. And the omega-3, we're using the Life Extension small capsules, although they changed the formula and it's not as small, and she takes only two a day because she just can't swallow any more pills.
Have you tried the liquid? I know Nordic Naturals has a good liquid, like lemon flavor. There's a couple of brands that have a good lemon flavor liquid, and you could get a lot more in. It's more cost effective and it's much easier to get down.
I didn't know what brand, where to look for a
liquid. Nordic Naturals has one. And there's another brand that my herbal, David Winston used to talk about all the time. He said it tastes delicious. I think it's orange flavored. He said, oh, it tastes like orangeade. But you can try Nordic Naturals for sure. They have a liquid and they have a lemon flavor.
I'll check that out.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Max Citrate, good numbers, ubiquinol, K2. Vitaprime, that's a multi, that's the one without the lipoic acid, and then milk peptides with melatonin. Tell us about that one.
She was having difficulty sleeping, and it's partially from the sleep apnea, it's partially from anxiety and worrying. Life Extension came out with a product a couple of years ago, milk peptide, and they sort of presented as, remember when our grandmother said have warm milk with honey? They isolated the peptide in milk that helps with relaxation and sleep and put it into a natural sleep formula, and they made it with and without melatonin. Initially, the plain milk peptide helped her some, then she needed more. And the other thing I like about their melatonin formulation, it's real low dose. It's 1.5 milligrams, half of it in a short-acting and half of it in a long-acting form.
Mm.
And with that, she does pretty well most of the time. Some nights when she wakes up, she can't get back to sleep. She'll occasionally take a second melatonin. Yeah, and I'm not sure because I keep getting conflicting information on melatonin, whether it is or isn't safe, low dose, high dose. So I didn't want to put her on a high dose, and my brother-in-law is having hissy fits about the 1.5 milligrams, and this was a compromise. And it
okay. Well, with melatonin, you know, there's a lot of evidence that it helps to prevent estrogen-related cancers. So on that standpoint, it's not problematic. On the other hand, people who take too high a dose of melatonin end up with really bad nightmares. So, you know, I haven't seen a whole lot of evidence that it's harmful other than the nightmares. If somebody else has any other evidence, But, of course, proceeding with caution and finding just the right amount. We obviously want to have our body stimulate its own. Sometimes people can get away with the 5-HTP with the 6 at bedtime to help the body produce more melatonin on its own. But some people just need to take the melatonin until you can figure out what's the problem in the pathway and what's going on. So.
Gosh. And her case is so complex, and she can't keep running back for frequent blood tests because it is an ordeal for her to get a blood test done. I've seen her veins are like practically non-existent.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I've got to select carefully what I push for.
Right. And sometimes the blood spot tests can be helpful, but there's not a whole lot of them available. I know you can do an amino acid as a blood spot, a mini amino acid. You can do
the vitamin D3
fatty
acids. Can be done.
You can do a vitamin D, I think, as a blood spot. I think there's some companies that do the vitamin D as a blood
Grassrootshealth.net has a program for anybody who's interested, part of a research project, and you get entered in the data that they're compiling. It used to be $55 or $60 every 6 months. You do a history online. Then they mail you a kit. You do a finger stick, mail it in, and they post your results online within 2 weeks. And that data is now part of the research study that they're using for their compilations. You can also do it individually if you don't want to commit to the full 5 years every 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Good program. And I'm trying to remember if they use ZRT, but I researched the lab and I contacted Carol Baggerly, who heads the program. This is done through University of Southern California, and I think they're doing pretty impressive research, and I think the program is well organized and good evidence for it.
Great. Yeah, that's good. So the more you can do as a blood spot, the better, because that way some people with problems with the veins and you don't have to set up the phlebotomy appointment and all that kind of stuff. So, All right. So you and your sibs are fighting over the meds. Your brother-in-law is a pharmacist or an MD? Which did you say he was?
He's a pharmacist who thinks he's an MD.
He thinks he's Well, actually, most of the pharmacists know more about the medications than they teach the MDs. So at least they still get biochemistry. I've heard that they're taking biochemistry out of the medical school curriculum. I think that's
really
crazy. Yeah, somebody told me. I was at a social gathering. He's a pharmacist. He goes, they're taking biochemistry away from the medical doctors.
I wouldn't be surprised, because the pharmaceutical companies, I hear, are taking over. They practically own the medical schools.
Yeah.
Their influence has become so powerful, I wouldn't be surprised they don't want biochemistry, because some smart docs might figure out
how the drugs are really working, and instead now they rely on the pharmaceutical reps to teach them about the drugs.
Right.
So we're here, I'm a big fan of biochemistry. If I don't know the biochemical pathway, I'm just like somebody asked earlier about a biochemical pathway, I'm dying to get off and start researching the biochemical pathway for the ferritin I really want to understand the pathways, because the more we understand what's going on, the more we can look at it. And you'll see when we do our neurotransmitter piece that the neurotransmitter is so fun to know those biochemical pathways and go, oh, that's how Prozac works. Oh, that's how, the MAO inhibitors work. What can we do nutritionally? So there's a lot of stuff here we could do if your mom was, completely, out of the influence of the others and was completely willing and able to do. I mean, we could turn this around, it probably in 6 months to a year, a lot of this stuff could be turned around. It just depends on what if your hands are tied and how much you could do. But you're doing a great job so far, because you got her on some great stuff. FBS. What's FBS?
Fasting blood sugars.
Fasting blood sugar. Okay, thank you. I'm like, FBS, it has something to do with sugar. What am I going to? Okay, fasting blood sugars fluctuate. A1C was down to 5.9, which is phenomenal for a diabetic, because they consider them controlled if they're 7. Mm-hmm. But still, 5.9 means that her average blood glucose is somewhere in the 120s, 130s, right? If you look at the
conversion. She still has some high ones. She had a 240 last week postprandial after dinner, and she has some scary fluctuations.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because her diet, right? She's not on a low glycemic diet. Is she doing the diabetic exchange junk?
No.
She's not even doing the diabetic exchanges. So
she just doesn't eat much. She tries to have vegetables and she tries to have a balanced diet, but I can't push her too much.
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh, you don't have. She doesn't have control over what she's eating, and really does take a determination. Like I was talking to Maura about earlier, what does it take to go from the 95% or 90 to 95% to the 100%? And what does it take? And when you take somebody who's not even living on their own, they have to be so dedicated and so determined and so unafraid of conflict and confrontation, which it doesn't sound like that's your mom. It sounds like she doesn't want to deal with conflict and confrontation.
And I think you and I can't fully appreciate the utter exhaustion, which I think is hypothyroid, maybe adrenal, that you just can't muster the strength to make an extra trip on the van or the bus to go shopping to pick up
more.
She just doesn't have the energy. Mind you, this is a woman who, if she sits in front of the TV without moving and it's boring, she'll fall asleep.
She'll fall asleep.
Minutes.
Yeah. Yeah, so that is. It's an exhaustion thing, and it is really a challenge to deal with it when you're dealing with it on an institutional level versus if she was living at home and you could hire somebody to make her food, and there's a lot of stuff that can be done for this, even though she's in the state of exhaustion. But and you're not living close by, that you could make her meals and bring them over. Certainly your other siblings don't seem to be on the same wavelength and aren't going to do that. So we have to work within the confines here of what we can do. And getting back to looking at what she's taking and getting back to what we said earlier, let's assume that, yes, she has some conversion issues and some receptor issues. The things that you might be able to add are vitamin A and selenium. Most people, I say, just eat 4 Brazil nuts a day, and that'll make it up. But, you know, in this case, those liquid ones that you can get, the Trace Minerals Research or Body Bio, they sell liquid. I like the Trace Minerals Research because they come in glass rather than plastic, and they have the droppers. So it's real easy to just take 2 droppers full of something. So you take 2 droppers of the selenium, and you put it into something else liquid that she's taking, or even into
Is
the
that
water.
Is the name of the company, Trace
Minerals? Yeah, Trace Minerals Research. And they're ionic, so they're easy to absorb. And they usually, the one I'm looking at right now is chromium, but they also have chromium along with a little bit of magnesium and some other boron and other things. So to look at those could be an easy way to get her to take some stuff. Okay, same thing with the liquid vitamin A. If you can find the micellized liquid vitamin A, it's really a drop a day. Could make all the difference in the world. Because a drop a day is 5,000 IUs, which is the RDA for it.
What company manufactures the liquid?
Metagenics used to. Metagenics used to have it. And recently I've tried to find it, and every place was out of stock. I haven't tried in a couple of months, so they may be back in stock. But I did find another brand, and it might have been Life Extensions, for all I know, or a brand that Life Extensions was carrying. But just type in micellized vitamin A or liquid vitamin A and see what you can find.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. So getting those two in, and then so selenium, and I don't see that she's doing any iodine.
I was afraid to do that because I started myself and then started hearing stuff, and I can't remember if it was from David. No, Brownstein promotes it.
Yes.
And I can't remember Karazian, but someone else said there is a danger. I spoke to, what's his name, the doc who runs FFP Laboratory, who does the iodine loading test, the urinary test.
Right.
I did a consultation with him, and he says you have to be very careful because you can trigger a crisis depending on somebody's metabolism if you give iodine to the wrong people. I'm taking it for breast health.
Right.
And I was afraid to give it to my mom and take a chance.
Yeah, so can you get the iodine loading test done for her? Can you get, is she willing to do that? Because that's another home kit. She doesn't have to get her blood drawn. She just has to pee.
Right.
So that's another issue. And that's, I think that, yes, if the person is overloaded in iodine, there can be a problem. The chances of this woman being overloaded in iodine are slim to none. Really. I mean, look at her, right? Look at her diet. She's not overdoing on seaweed. She's not overdoing on sea vegetables. She probably doesn't get a whole lot of seafood at the place.
She doesn't even like fish.
She doesn't even like fish.
Lucky I can occasionally get her to eat salmon.
Okay, soils are depleted. So where would she be getting this iron overload, right? So the chances of that, yes, in cases of that, you can trigger a goiter from overdose. And you can trigger autoimmune thyroid from overdose. But, if you read, I don't know if you've read Bronstein's book on iodine, Can't Live Without It, or something like that.
Yes, I've got that book, and I also have the CD version of Karazian's thyroid. I'm going to get the book to go with it.
Right. So, yeah, and they're opposing views, but I think Karazian is, he's taken some of the studies that showed that certain places have these issues of flare-ups, but they are likely to be people who already have iodine. Like in Japan, I think the studies were actually done in Japan, where people have a really high amount of iodine in their diet compared to us. So adding extra iodine to their diet could throw them over the edge. But here in the Western world, where people are not eating the sea vegetables, they're not eating seafood that much, especially in an institutional setting, it's unlikely. But yes, I recognize your concern, and absolutely we need to be conservative in that regard. But why don't you get her an iodine loading test? You know, it's under $100.
I may see. I'll appreciate help today on prioritizing, because I can't push you to do too much because of energy,
absolutely.
Money.
Will you do me a favor? You keep track of everything I'm recommending, and then let's review it at the end. And then we'll prioritize it.
Okay, great.
For me to stop and write all this down while I'm in my, you know, creative mode.
Yep.
and it's recorded, then we can get it transcribed. But still, if you keep track of it, then at the end what we'll do is we'll prioritize, right? Which we didn't do with Maura.
Okay.
We just assumed Maura was going to do it all, which that's Maura's personality. So she will, I know.
The other concern was that the director of the FFP lab, and I'm blocking on his name now, he was the one who strongly cautioned me not to start without doing a whole bunch of tests on her and not to assume it was safe to give her iodine without checking all.
And I would say, let's be careful about that, but you can give her some selenium. You can give her the vitamin A. Right? You can make
sure. Would that be over and above what's in the multivitamin? Because that's the other thing about mixing and matching all this stuff, is you have to be so careful that you don't overdose, because a good quality multi is going to have better doses of certain things, and then you take another combination thing that already has that, and you got to be so careful.
It's a good question, and my findings with multis is they're always conservative levels. And if it's a capsule versus a liquid, it's not going to be absorbed as well, so you have to take away some of the loss due to digestive stuff, which she obviously has GERD, and she has issues, right? Her stomach, she probably has completely depleted stomach acid.
Yeah.
Right?
So, and I have the bottle here, and this Vita Prime, which is from ProThera, contains 6,000 IUs in two capsules.
6,000 IUs of vitamin A?
Yeah.
In two capsules.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not gel caps. They're more standard caps with powder in them, right?
Right.
Okay. You know, that may be enough, and it probably wouldn't hurt her to get a drop a day of a nice micellized liquid that's really going to get in there. Same thing with the minerals. The minerals more so, but still, if she's having digestive issues, which she is, then she may not have some good fat absorption. And putting it mixed in a multi, that's the misnomer about the multi, let's cover all our bases. But when you mix everything together like that, you're not going to get the same kind of absorption as if you provide on an empty stomach the minerals in an ionized liquid form, right? That bypasses the problems with stomach acid because it's ionized. You could put it under the tongue and have some of it be absorbed that way. You put it right into the empty stomach and have it be absorbed right through the lining. Doesn't require the whole elevated stomach acid to unbind because they're already in ionic form. So that's the difference.
Okay.
It's a huge difference. And it'd be nice if we can get everything in that liquid form.
Dr. Rita Marie Beverly, I found Claire Labs, K-L-A-I-R-E, has a liquid micellized vitamin A on Amazon. Do you know about that one?
That would be fine.
Oh, no. Oh,
that'd be
they're
fine
actually
on Amazon?
In the same group with ProThera. Huh. I'll check that out.
$17.25 for an ounce.
Great.
So, there you go.
When in doubt, look on Amazon.
dig it.
I'm actually a vendor with ProThera Claire, so I can probably get that. Maybe
you can get it at wholesale. Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you, Beverly. That's great.
You're welcome.
Yeah. Okay. So you got on K2. Is it a liquid K2? Is it what form is the K2?
That is also I think it's a gel cap.
Okay. As much as possible, Debbie. One of the first steps, which would be in prioritizing, and then you can replace it whenever one of these runs out, is to look for the liquid equivalents of whatever she's taking. So she's not going to be adding more. And then instead of her having to swallow so many pills, she's just popping some stuff in. You can get her some essential oil or vanilla flavor or something to make it taste good, and then take it down.
Hmm.
Okay, that'd be the first step, is to improve her absorption, because she obviously has some problems with absorption, right? She's got GERD. She's on Prilosec. So we know she has low stomach acid, even if she didn't start out with low stomach acid, right? Because the Prilosec is giving her low stomach acid.
Right, and I've spoken to her about it, and she's afraid to stop taking that, and I can understand, and especially since I'm not right there with her, and her doctor and the pharmacist's brother-in-law are all against these changes. It's a real battle.
So write down DGL, Slippery Elm.
I'm taking that. I'm wondering if I could get her. Does that work if you take in the protonics and all the other?
Yeah, because what you do is you start with that to start rebuilding the lining. So that's going to start to build up the mucus lining. When they take, there's been studies, look it up, just do a Medline search, Prilosec and DGL. And they've done those studies. Initially, Prilosec gives better immediate symptom relief. But after 2 to 3 weeks, you're getting better relief with the DGL. Because what is it doing? It's repairing. Okay.
Yeah.
And
for
then
those
when you
who
get
are
them,
interested, for those who are interested, I actually found a chocolate-flavored DGL.
Okay, there you go, moms. Gonna love it.
Yeah, if anyone's interested, it's I think I got it from Swanson. It's called DGL Ultra German Chocolate-Flavored, and it's from, who's making it, Enzymatic Therapy.
Yeah, that's been on the market forever. I remember that. It's a chewable, right?
Yes.
The
yeah.
chewable is especially good for folks who are having the esophageal issues, right? So there's some esophageal erosion from the GERD, and a lot of people who have like a chronic cough or a sore throat and like nobody knows why, a lot of times it's GERD. And the DGL, when you take the chewable, you let it melt in your mouth, whatever, you're actually helping to fix the eroded system, whereas if you just take it in a capsule, it doesn't burst open until it gets down into your stomach, so you don't have the advantage of healing the eroded esophagus. Does that make sense?
That's good. I could possibly get her to do that. What about limonene? I've got some of that I haven't started taking yet because I'm trying one at a time.
Yeah, limonene's great. I mean, that's a liquid, right? You can add that too.
I think those limonene are pills or gel caps. Haven't opened the bottle yet.
You see, I like limonene as a liquid. You can get it from Premier Research has limonene. Limonene is the oil, the most active oil ingredient in lemon oil, and it's the rind, the lemon and orange, all the citrus rinds, limonene.
Hmm.
Limes, lemons, et cetera. So that's another thing you can get as a liquid, Premier Research Labs. You can set up a practitioner account with Premier Research Labs and get everything at half price.
Premier Research Labs. Okay, great.
And they're excellent. There's no additives and excipients and magsterates or any of that. They have a really good.
Now, can you use DGL and limonene together? And I heard something about you don't have to take limonene every day. It's like 3 times a week.
I don't know. That's something to look into. I'd love to see whatever you saw that said that. But I don't see a problem with taking the two together.
Huh. Okay.
I'd have to look that up, though, licorice and limonene. Together.
And that may have been information from Life Extension.
Okay.
Can't remember where I read that. But if I find it, I can.
Yeah, if you find that, certainly pass that on. great way to pass this stuff on is through the forum, which hasn't been very active, but it's a great place for us to share links, et cetera. Yeah, so that would be if you want to really prioritize this as much as possible, everything you're giving her, you switch to liquids. So you can get a vitamin D liquid, and I know you like the one you've got, and it's small, but if you wanted to do the whole liquid approach, you can get either Premier or Biotics has the D, where each drop is 2,000, so you could have her take like three drops, pretty much the same. Probiotics you can get as powder. My favorite these days happens to be the one from Health Force Nutritionals called Friendly Force. And that one is 100 billion organisms per teaspoon. Again,
wow.
Powder. Great way to do it, but again, she's not going to do it. But for the rest of you listening is to turn it into yogurt. I had for breakfast this morning a big bowl of chia porridge with cashew yogurt on top, and it's basically a 1-to-1-to-1 ratio of water, cashews, and probiotic, a teaspoon of probiotics for every cup of water and cashews. And you first blend up the cashews in the water, blend it up till it's a nice creamy kind of sauce-like consistency, and then you add the probiotic. I usually make 3 cups at a time, so I'll go 3 cups water, 3 cups cashews, blend that up, add 3 teaspoons of the probiotic powder, just quick blend it, just to blend it in so you don't kill off the organisms with high heat. And then you put it in a bowl, and I set it at room temperature. I actually have one of these yogurt makers. You can probably find it on Amazon. TriBest makes it, but it's a yogurt maker. It's a dome, so it's like a hot plate with a dome over it. Comes with these little yogurt containers, but I just usually put it in a big Pyrex, stick it in the dome, put the dome over it, plug it in. It keeps it at the perfect temperature. You could also set a bowl of it in a dehydrator at the very lowest temperature, or just put a towel around it and set it in the warmest part of your house where, you know, there's some sun coming in, or in an oven that's not turned on but is generally warmer than the ambient air, and you can make yogurt. People love it. Absolutely love it. So I'm just thinking in terms of your list, just like how could you switch everything to liquid to make it more absorbable for her so she doesn't have to deal with swallowing so many capsules, but also with the low stomach acid, she's not going to be breaking down the capsules all that well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the D, the probiotics you can do, the omega-3 we already talked about, the magnesium, again, you can go with Trace Minerals Research. They have the drops, you know, a drop or two droppers of magnesium. They have something called MegaMag. Ubiquinol, you can also get that as a liquid. Is that what that is, or is it a powder?
That is a gel cap, I believe.
Gel cap. Yeah. Well, you can find liquid I think that Premier Research Labs has a liquid ubiquinol.
How costly are these formulations? Because I find that sometimes the ionic stuff is very expensive. And some of the stuff, like recommended by Carolyn Dean, comes in glass jars, which cost more for shipping than the cost of the product.
I ordered a bunch of these on Amazon and got them with free shipping. And I bought eight or nine of them, and it cost me $75. They're not very expensive.
Great.
They're actually quite reasonable. And they come in the nice blue jars, the glass, so you know that you're not getting any leakage of the plastic into it, and they're not clear, so you're protecting it from the oxidation. So, yeah. So that's where you could go. Mag, you can always get either liquid or powder. You can get mag citrate. Thorn sells a mag citrate powder. Calm. So just the brand Calm. That one has magnesium in a powder form.
And what is Calm? Is that a?
It's a
product.
Yeah, it's a product. If you went on and just typed in magnesium Calm, it's just called. That's the product. I forget his name, but he came up with this thing, and it's really popular. You can get them in little packets individually. Pop the packet in, or you can get them in a jar and just scoop it out.
And you mix these in water, or are they palatable enough to take alone and just take a swig of water afterwards?
I mix them in water. The minerals tend to be quite strong, so you have to dilute them a bit. So usually about 8 ounces of water, and then you can dilute all the minerals in. And if it's not quite tasty, you can put a drop of cinnamon, which would be nice for her to have anyway, for her blood sugar.
Mm.
And if she's not taking cinnamon, it's awesome. You know, it's interesting. I got this email, and it was the headline was the breakthrough in blood sugar management, that the new, like, cure, almost, he was saying, for diabetes. And I go, and you have to watch this long, drawn-out video, which I left run, and I came back later to see what was in it. It was some supplement they were selling for quite a lot of money. And what's the prime ingredient? Cinnamon.
I'll tell you a secret about those long, drawn-out videos. If you click to close the tab, it says stop. Do you really want to leave the page? And if you say stay on the page, the video goes away, and you can just read it and scroll down.
Oh, good. Thank you, Debbie. Thank you. Yeah, because I find those things very annoying.
Yep.
Yeah, and they're going on, and they go about 15 minutes about this great thing and how important
yep.
it is to control your blood sugar, and how isn't it awful that you have to control your diet, and what if you didn't have to control your diet and you could just take this pill? And I'm like, oh, God, what is it? It was cinnamon and thiamine, and I don't remember what the other thing was, but it's stuff we all know about and use all the time. And I'm like, oh, God. Anyway, so, but yeah, cinnamon, she should be doing cinnamon. So, you know, however she can add cinnamon, she could add it to whatever drinks she does. She could add it to whatever she eats. Cinnamon's a good thing. But she could add a little bit of cinnamon.
What are your thoughts on which cinnamon? Because I'm hearing that some of them are not very good and they're
yeah,
cheap.
Ceylon cinnamon. Ceylon cinnamon.
What is it?
Ceylon cinnamon.
How do you spell that?
Ceylon.
Ah, okay. From the island of Ceylon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, and you can get that a lot of places online. They have it at Mountain Rose Herbs. You can get it probably at the Raw Food World, the Renegade Health Store. Just do a search. Oh, I got Frontier. I found Frontier. I think I bought it on Amazon. Frontier has one. You can get it at iHerb. iHerb has Frontier, good price. But I think I found it on sale once on Amazon, so I bought it there. Or I think I had a coupon on Amazon, and that's why I bought it there. But, yes, good stuff. I bought it there because Mountain Rose was out, and I usually like to get stuff at Mountain Rose because they have great quality stuff. But yeah, Ceylon cinnamon. So, yeah, she can just make up a drink. What I usually do is I have a bunch of these different liquid things, and I'll just put them in a cup, put the water in. Sometimes I'll add cinnamon. Sometimes I'll add some other herbs to it. And then, you know, swish it around. Vitamin C powder even, because it has a little bit of that tang to it, citrus tang, lemon juice added to it. There's a lot of ways to flavor it. You might, you know, try a couple of them on your own and then see what you have to do to make it taste good so you can just give her a formula. Here, Mom, add this. She can add chocolate powder to it. Raw cacao and add that to it. Or you know what's even better?
It has to be something
stevia.
Real easy.
Chocolate stevia. The liquid
stuff.
There is
such a thing?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, it's from, what's the name of it? Sweet Leaf has chocolate stevia, and it sweetens it and gives it a chocolate flavor at the same time. So it's a great way to, you know, the spoonful of sugar makes the medicine go down.
Yeah.
It's the diabetic and the blood sugar-friendly version of a spoonful of sugar, the flavored stevias. I like that one. I like the... what's that? English toffee is another flavor. It tastes like butterscotch, if you
chocolate
remember that.
Berry.
And
chocolate raspberry.
They have raspberry, and they have
yeah.
chocolate raspberry. Yeah, they have a whole bunch of different ones, and you can buy them all at Amazon. You can have them shipped directly to
yeah.
you.
Wow. Good
yep.
ideas. Thank
yes.
you.
They're great ideas. So you can get her to take her little really... empowering drink at the beginning of the day. And this goes for anybody. If you're dealing with kids, or kids or parents, right? It's like in the middle, we're kind of maybe easy to deal with. But once, you know, they are too old and too young, it's like you have to make everything taste good. For me, it's just like, hold my nose and get it down. I don't really care.
And it has to be easy and not too much effort.
Yeah.
Well, that's another excuse for not doing it.
That's another excuse.
Especially when you have no energy.
Absolutely. But for this, it'd be instead of opening each bottle and taking out the pills and closing the bottle and taking it and swishing it down with water, she could open the bottle, swish, put it into a cup, move the next bottle, swish, put it into the cup. She'd have an assembly line on her counter. She could open up this one, put a teaspoon, she'd stir it all up, squish in her stevia or whatever she decides she likes, and then do it. And you could, since you know your mom and you know what her taste buds are like, you can get it yourself and check it out, you know, and then send it to her. The other option you have, which this is going to be a lot of work on your part, but you can create, you can get a glass bottle for her and mix everything that you want her to take together in the right proportions, and you can make like a week or a month's worth. Probably a week's
worth.
Does
it keep?
And you could just make it up.
Does it actually keep?
If you, I think it can. You'd have her stick it in her refrigerator. I did that when I was traveling.
I know she won't go through that every morning. What she does is once every week or two, she'll put all her pills out in the pill holders. I got her to do a week, and I think she might even be doing 2 weeks now. But I don't know if she would go through all those bottles to make a mix every single morning.
Right,
but
so she could make the mix
a
for a week at a time and then stick it in her fridge. Right, so she could just make it and say, okay, I'm going to do 7 doses of this, 7 doses of that, 7 doses of that, have a bottle she could put it in. I prefer to have these dark amber bottles, you know, so an empty bottle from something, or you can go online and order some empty bottles for her and then have it all together. So what I did when I went away last week for, I have my liquid minerals and all my liquid stuff that I like to take, and I took a 16-ounce bottle. No, this is the wrong one, a 4-ounce bottle. Let's see, this one's 2 ounces. Yeah, the 4-ounce bottle, an amber bottle, and I just did all my liquid stuff in there, and I measured it out, and, you know, I said, okay, it comes out. It was very unscientific when I finally saw how I did four doses, because I was only gone 4 days. I had 4 doses of each one. I said, okay, I'm going to split this in, you know, I put a line at the halfway mark and then a line at the halfway mark of both of those, and then when I was pouring it out, I just poured down to that mark. It doesn't have to be exact. And that way she'd have a whole week's worth. You'd probably need an 8-ounce bottle for what she's be taking, but you'd have to figure out what she needs and what size she would need. But yeah, there's a lot of ways you could do it to make it easier for her. And like I said, if you wanted to do it for her, for at least the first time, just to see, you can do it, and then you can send her the bottles and the instructions for doing it herself.
Good ideas.
Yeah. So, you know, it's, somebody's got to do the work, right? It's either the manufacturer or you or her. Okay. So let's move on down. So she does have a good level of D. She said it's greater than 50. We'll look at that and see if it's enough. Okay, so I'm just scrolling down. We've talked about most of this stuff. She's got a lot of other practitioners. Her positive health habits, walking, doesn't overeat, lots of water. She keeps in touch with you. You try to get her to heart math and deep breathing, and you got her to see a therapist. Great. And her negative, watches a lot of violent TV and news before bedtime, eek. Institutional diet, eats gluten a lot, moderate sugar, drives herself nuts, worrying, rehashing stuff she can't change. So have you had the conversation with her about the effects of sugar and gluten on her situation?
She sort of knows. We have bits and pieces, and she just feels so overwhelmed she can't make major changes. That's why I have to prioritize and pick one little thing at a time to get her to do. She's running on borrowed time.
Yeah.
And yet, like I say, she can still beat me at Scrabble half the time, and our games are within 20, 30 points every time. She's sharp as a tack.
Does she feel like she wants things to change? Let's just ask that question. Does she want her health to be different?
It's a yes, but she doesn't have the energy or the inclination to push major changes because we have such conflict with my siblings that everything is a battle. Right. I want her to change, and she believes and trusts me, but then they're the ones who take her to the doctor, and they're on his side.
Right. She's kind of in this
situation.
So
it's a real struggle. Yeah.
But she does. If in an ideal world, she would want to feel better.
She would want to feel better. She just doesn't have the energy, so she doesn't want to make effort that she has no energy for.
So what we're really looking for here, and this is a good case, because when people come in and they have their issues, we want to fix them, right? We want to give them the 100% cure. And sometimes they don't want the 100% cure. We want to get at whatever little things we can do that we're going to help them to see changes. And sometimes when you can instigate changes that are going to give them a little more energy, then they're going to have energy for a few more changes. So
that's what I was trying to focus on. That's what I was,
yep.
I was trying to tell her. If we get your energy up and change the thyroid, you will feel better to do all this other stuff. But I can't get her to.
Yeah. So the big things right now, right, we don't know about that's the hard part, because to get the thyroid fixed, if she does have autoimmune, then getting off the gluten, getting off the sugar, getting the blood sugars more stable is the critical stuff for the autoimmune piece. Okay? You've got her on some good stuff already. Adding the A, the selenium, and did you have her on B's separately, or B's are just in there? Can you check to see if the bees in the multi are activated bees or not?
The bees in the multi, I'm looking at the label. B6 is pyridoxine, 15 milligrams. Metafolin is the folate, 15 methyl tetrahydrofolate, 400 micrograms. B12, 50% is methylcobalamin, and 50% is 5-adenosylcobalamin. Biotin, pantothenic acid as calcium pantothenate.
What's the B6 as?
Pyridoxine hydrochloride.
Okay. And the riboflavin?
Don't see that. Oh, wait, riboflavin is just riboflavin USP, 15 milligrams.
Okay. Yeah, so it's mixed. So what I was asking Debbie to give me is what forms of the B vitamins, and this is important. Sometimes you could just switch somebody's brand. They don't have to completely add new stuff, but switch their brand to get something that has more of the activated forms. But she's got the riboflavin is not in an activated form. The B6 is not. That would be riboflavin 5-phosphate or pyridoxal 5-phosphate. But the cobalamin, she's got half and half. She's got methyl and adenosine, which is much better than cyano, which most things have, which is great. And the folic, which is very unusual for a multi to have the methylated folate. So it's kind of mixed there. The calcium pantothenate is good. But with an adrenal issue, pantothenic acid at higher levels could be very helpful. So pantothenic acid in the 500 milligrams three times a day, or twice a day, if she's already taken twice a day, then could be very helpful for that adrenal thing, you know, without her having to do too much more. And I forgot to mention that. I know that when we first talked, we talked about the pantothenic acid, and in our protocols we talk about pantothenic acid, but it didn't sound like you were taking pantothenic acid, and it's really critical to get that pantothenic acid so that your body can convert the cholesterol to pregnenolone. So pantothenic acid 500 milligrams three times a day, like we talked about in the adrenal protocol last week. So she doesn't drink alcohol. She does drink caffeine. How willing is she to switch her coffee to green tea?
It's only one cup in the morning. And
okay,
I've tried to get her off. She feels she really needs her caffeine. I don't know that tea would cut it for her.
Okay.
And I think she may need it for the boost, for the energy.
She may, but she also may find that maybe the first couple of weeks to just do it half and half, even, and get her used to it. But the antioxidant support that the green tea has may, after a couple of weeks of weaning off of the caffeine, the coffee, and weaning onto that, might actually do the trick. And it's a one-to-one, right? She can have her cup of hot green tea in the morning. Or look at something like green tea extract. I mean, green coffee extract.
Green coffee extract.
Yep. There's a brand that...
I think I've heard about it. Life Extension may have just come out with a green
they
coffee.
They may have it. Yep. Yep. But you might get her on that, and she could have her green tea for her ritual of having the hot drink in the morning, and then have the green coffee bean extract as a supplement. And I don't know how it comes. I know it definitely comes as pills, but it may also come as liquids. Because I have a supplement that has
It's got CoQ10, some B vitamins, and green coffee bean extract, and it is liquid. So it should be able to be available as a liquid.
Hmm.
And that could be something she could just have her green tea and then just put a squirt of green coffee extract in it. And that could help because the green tea is alkalizing. Coffee is acidifying. So that alone will help take some load off her system. Green tea has loads of antioxidants to support liver detoxification. And it just doesn't have as much caffeine as coffee. And the caffeine in the Coffeegenics is Coffeegenics is one brand I know that Gabriel Cousins recommends. But the coffee bean extract will have a more nourishing form of the tea. It doesn't have the stimulating, but it will give people energy. And for sure, I know I've seen it happen.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, we know sugar needs to be cut out. We know. So that she all on tap water? She doesn't drink purified water at all, huh?
No, she doesn't really have access.
Can you get her, even one of those Brita filters is better than tap water. It takes a good bunch of it out.
That would really make a difference?
Yeah.
Mm. All right.
Because if she's got thyroid issues and she's drinking tap water, she's getting all that fluorine and chlorine, in addition to other people's prescription medication residues.
Now, does the Brita actually remove the chlorine and
the fluoride?
You have
to look to see. But I would research some of the easy countertop filters because she's obviously not going to get one installed.
Right.
And see what you can find.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Purified water, no. Sleeping 8 ounces. So she has trouble sleeping. She does. Okay, let's look at her. Oh, yeah, Yvette, this is a good point. In terms of the Garden of Life, I would use it on yourself first, and then see if it works before you get your mom to do it. It's a whole system, Garden of Life. They call it Grow Bone. And you get your DEXA scan, and then you do it for 6 months, and then you do the DEXA scan again. And if it does not improve considerably, they will refund your money. So, and I know somebody who did it locally because I want to see how it worked, and she said she was amazed at how well it worked.
Garden of Life. Okay.
Garden of Life.
Check that out.
Grow Bone System.
Anybody, you know what the key element is that makes it so effective?
There's a bunch of stuff in it. I think that's what makes it so effective is that it's very, very comprehensive.
Yes, I just did the life extension program for 2 years, and the DEXA didn't budge.
Didn't
go down, but I was
let me
very
see if I have it here. I have one down. I think I have it downstairs.
No,
I don't have it. But go look it up, and you'll see. Yeah, go look it up online and see if that's something that would be worthwhile for you.
Thank you, Yvette.
Yep. Yvette also mentioned the book, which you said you have already, the iodine book. And there's also
see if I can get the loving test done before I start that, but that might
Yeah. See if you can get it done. The other thing is I believe that doing the NTX test while you're doing any protocol will give you an idea if you're on the right track. So you start a protocol within like a month, you do the NTX just to see are you going in positive or negative balance. And if you're still going in negative balance, then you know that the program needs to be boosted up to go into positive. Right. So that the two
which
are
labs
good.
Do those? If I didn't want to go to the local specialist, which labs could I order those from?
I think Direct Labs does it. At least they used to.
Any of the others, like Diagnostics or?
I think that there's one. I think that possibly Metametrics has one. And then genomics and Metametrics merged. So you might be able to just go to one of their websites and find it. And then I did something, and there was somebody who used to sell a home kit for it. It was something like Virginia Hopkins or something like that. And they had a home kit that you could order, do it, and send it in to them. So there's just do NTX on Google and see where you can find it.
Okay.
Yeah, and Yvette made a point that true. If your mom does have all these toxic halides, the tap water and the meds and all this,
that it's most likely, like I said at the start, it's very unlikely that she has an excess of iodine, and that, you know, I understand your concern, but it may not be warranted. And certainly getting an iodine load test to make yourself feel more confident about supplementing her would be a good idea. Because it could be a really critical piece, like you're looking for something relatively easy that could help her.
Okay. And is Iodorol, because I'm wondering, even if I gave her one a day, maybe two a day for a week or so, and then one a day, and there's another company, I can't remember if it was something I found on Swanson or Life Extension, that's very close to the Iodorol formula, but a lot cheaper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the Iodorol has good track record. If you can get a prescription, which is hard to do, I think the Lugol's can be helpful. Some people use nascent iodine as a liquid. I haven't had enough experience or research on it to know. Magdalene wants to know how much time retest with NTX. You can get a change in it in a month. I wouldn't do more than a month just to see if you're on the right track. So do a protocol for a month, check your NTX. You should see that change relatively quickly, because that's just telling you whether you're in losing bone or gaining bone. And that's a kind of point in time as to how your protocol is working. So about a month maybe. Chemistry, her sodium is low, 129, that's fairly low. Potassium is low. Chloride is low. So all of her electrolytes are low. Does she...
And that started very suddenly after the bypass surgery.
After the bypass.
Never came back normal. But the last one was 131. It was a little higher.
A little bit better. Okay. Her carbon dioxide is okay. And again, let me pull up the... I'm going to shorten this and see if I can get just the ranges. Here we go. Okay, just quickly just going through the ranges. Carbon dioxide, ideal range 25 to 30. She's got a 19. Chloride, I'll just keep it to the side. Chloride, 100, what does she have? 92, so the range is 100 to 106 for ideal, and 99 to 111 for the lab, so she's underneath. She's in a pathological range there. Her potassium is 3.5 to 5.2. That's their normal. The ideal range is 4 to 4.5. Hers is 3.3. So she's low on all of these, considerably low, and a lot lower than the ideal range. Now, one of the things that says to me is that you've got absorption issues, right? She's got low hydrochloric acid. We know that because she's on Prilosec. So how is she getting these in? So you might look at the trace minerals combo that would have some of all of this in here. Does she restrict her sodium intake?
There was a period when they restricted her. There was a period when they put her on salt tablets. They're all over the chart. They're all over the place.
Yeah, they don't. And did any of it make a difference?
Not enough, which is why they keep switching her back. The part of the problem is the left ankle has been very swollen since they took the graft for the bypass surgery from her left leg.
Yeah, so that affected her circulation in her left leg. It's clearly, if it was bilateral, you would think it was a systemic electrolyte imbalance or
right.
You know, right. So it's really...
It's not so bad on the other leg, but the left one gets sometimes pretty bad, and that's why they put her on the Lasix, not because of the blood pressure or anything, but because the legs get so swollen sometimes. And without my father around, she doesn't have the strength and can't bend to put the elastic stockings on herself.
Okay. Yeah, so that's an issue. Can she get help there? Can she request help?
When things were really rough, she did, but she can't afford it on a regular basis.
Right. So one of the things to help with the circulation in the venous return would be those exercises where you lie on your back, you angle the legs at 45 degrees, and then you do the ankle, flex, extend. She could do that before she gets out of bed in the morning. And she could take a nap in the middle of the day and do that, and do it before bed at night. And that'll build up some of the musculature, but also it's periodically just pumping everything back up and see if that doesn't help.
Okay.
So her bun is good. Her creatinine is a little bit low. Her GFR is good, her glucose is 164, and that's fasting. So she's not really well controlled, right?
And yet another one that I think I sent you, she had a fasting of 59 one time. It's
59?
It's all over
the map. Yeah, 59. Yeah,
59.
So okay, so she's out of control. She's fluctuating too much one way or the other. That was probably a reactive hypoglycemic based on a high glycemic meal the night before. So those are the things to really look at. It's critical to get her glycemic stuff controlled. And do at this assisted or whatever it is, senior, what did you call it?
Independent living
place. Do they take into account people's needs in terms of they're diabetic, they need a low glycemic diet, or do they just feed everybody the same thing?
Not enough. There's a woman there who has severe GI problems and has problem. She moved from the other place they both lived at to this place, and none of these independent living pay enough attention to special dietary needs. It's a fantasy of mine to create an independent living facility, an experimental place for people with organic and a lot more vegetarian choices. And I would love to brainstorm and get a group together that creates a facility.
Well, I know someone who has that goal too. I know Karen Osborne, who teaches classes here with me. She's a very well-educated living foods, whole foods, trained in Ayurvedic and macrobiotic and all kinds of healing dietaries. And that's one of her goals, too, is to create that assisted living
and
thing.
And me.
So I'll put you together.
And me. Remember, that's my goal,
Oh, and
too.
Your goal, too. There. So maybe you guys can have a nice brainstorming session and see what... Right. She did an internship up and she went to a place like that and she actually just snuck in all these great meals for people. They loved it. They thought it was awesome. She fed them low glycemic candies, and they thought they were getting real candy. So I'll have to put you guys together, and maybe you can have a brainstorming session about that because that's one of her dreams.
Wow, that would be great.
Yeah, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it? Okay.
One of the issues, of course, with that is affordability for seniors on a fixed limited income to afford good food.
Well, none of these places are cheap. And to me, you know, when you look at the cost of putting somebody into one of these places, which is very high, if you were to just increase the quality of the food, it wouldn't percentage-wise increase what it costs to run the place. I mean, seriously, it's not that big a cost by comparison. I keep talking about that with the school. You know, how much extra? Parents would be willing to pay an extra $1,000 a year for the kids to eat better food. When you think about how much these places cost, I don't think having good food is going to make it that much of a difference. That's just my personal opinion. So her liver enzymes look good. Hard to read this. Protein looks good. Albumin looks good. White blood cell count is high. So, I mean, there's definitely some kind of an infection going on, whether it's acute. Let's see, neutrophils. Okay, so, right.
I think these labs are from an emergency room visit. She came back from being out and suddenly got nausea and retching and was retching horribly. My sister happened to call. They called the nurse and they said, you got to go to the hospital. And that was the scenario, the context in which these labs were done.
Okay, yeah, so there's definitely, if you look down, guys, this one does have a differential. The neutrophils are 88, ouch. That's definitely bacterial in nature. Lymphocytes are low, more bacterial. And then if you look at white blood cell count, it's high versus low, which means it's more of an acute thing. If it's low, it's more of a chronic thing. Just rules of thumb, not 100% accurate all the time, but that's generally what you're going to see. Her monocytes were 3.9, so she's in the acute stage. She's not in the recovery stage. Her eosinophils are barely there, and the basophils are very low, so it's unlikely to be something like a parasitic or allergy, but she's definitely, during this thing, had a bacterial infection going on. She had a trace of ketones in her blood, in her urine. That's normal with a diabetic. It's not healthy, but it's normal with a diabetic. And there we go. And that was the most recent. No, that was in March. Most recent? Oh, you've got some from 4-9. Okay.
Yeah, her doctor just ordered that outpatient. And I even have something here from 2011. I didn't even get to fax that. I could send that through.
That's okay. That's okay. Let's just look at her right now. You know. So she's got her cholesterol's a little on the high side. Her HDLs are 67. Her triglycerides are 101. That's actually not bad. I mean, I've seen most diabetics are way worse than that. That's within the 2-to-1 range, barely. It's not within the ideal, but it's certainly not too bad as far as her insulin resistance being under control, which is kind of odd given she had 164. Let's see. It's hard to read. Glucose is 113, so it's definitely high there. Creatinine bun, I'm just trying to read to see. Again, her sodium is a little bit higher. Her potassium is normal here. Her chlorides are... What does that say? Can you read it, Debbie, on yours? I can't read that one.
All right. Hold on. See, that's the one from the 9th. Chloride is 94.
So it's a little bit better than it was in at 85 on the previous one. Let's see. Chloride was 92, and now it's 94, so it's not that much different. Okay.
And I think they gave her a bolus of IV potassium in the emergency room 3 weeks earlier, so I don't know if it reflects that. She's taking some PO potassium now. I don't know if that was on the medication list.
Okay. Yeah, and her A1C 5.9, again, that's pretty, you know, it's pretty good for a diabetic.
Mm-hmm.
That and the triglyceride HDL ratio. So, you know, she's still diabetic. It's still a problem. But by comparison to what their norms are, it's not too bad. Let's look. Yeah, so her white blood cell count, that was obviously an acute infection because her white blood cell count now is down to normal. Her hemoglobin is 12, a little on the low side. Hematocrit 36, a little on the low side. MDC 93.9, a little on the high side. So you may look at that B12 folic acid in terms of upping the amount. She's not taken separately the B12 folic acid, right? She's just taken that multi?
Right.
I mean, maybe look at just getting her to put on a patch once a week. Might be helpful. B12 patch. That's real easy,
I
right?
I wasn't even familiar with those. I was not aware of the patch.
Oh, yeah. They've become popular over the last 3 or 4 years. Maybe 4 or 5 years. I first discovered them as I was looking for something for my son who claimed he wasn't going to take any supplements, but I was clear he had a B12 deficiency when he was a teenager. And I found the patch. He was willing to do it. Within hours, he felt better. Within 3 months, his methylmalonic acid, which had been out of range, came back into normal range just by doing a patch once a week. I've had people who have had long-standing joint pains, like hip pain, go away within a couple of days of starting those patches. And, you know, obviously there was some kind of neurologic thing going on there. So it's worthwhile, very easy. You can buy them on Amazon. You pop them on the, you know, back behind the neck, behind the ear, and wear it for 24 hours, take it off. A week later, you put another one on. Some people do them more often, at least initially. Sometimes I have people do them once a day for a little bit and then go into the, you know, twice a week, once a week. But that's an easy way to get her to take it without adding to her oral load.
Is the patch better than some of the sublinguals? I know Mercola has a sublingual.
Yes, the patches are definitely better than sublinguals. When you look at percentage of absorption, if you do a shot, you know, it's like 99% utilizable. If you do nasal spray, it's in the 90s. If you do the patches, it's somewhere close, you know, around 90. And then if you do, when you do the sublinguals, you jump down to 35.
Hmm.
And my numbers might be slightly off, and you know, I'm looking back at a study that I had several years ago, but that's the approximate. That's the differential between them. Sublinguals are hard. I think the sublingual tablets are actually better than the sublingual liquid because you can actually leave the tablet under the tongue till it's completely absorbed. With the liquid, due to the volume, you put it in there and just how long can you leave it there before there's just you're going to end up swallowing a bunch of it anyway.
So you swallow it and you lose the whole benefit of the sublingual.
And you lose not the whole benefit, because if you can leave it in there long enough to get some of it. But with the tablet, they actually melt under your tongue and they take 2 or 3 minutes to dissolve. So I think you get better absorption. PERK has a really nice little tablet. I've had good results with
that. What's the name of it?
PERQUE, PERK.
PERQUE, that's a manufacturer?
Yep. Yeah, high-quality, physician-grade supplements.
Great.
You can probably set up a practitioner account with that, with them. To me, this is so much more exciting than just talking about stuff, like presenting facts. Okay, Mom's ASI. Okay, so this was another. So now we're being exposed to yet a fourth sample report on an ASI. Earlier today, we looked at two different labs with Mora. We looked at Diagnostics, and then we looked at, Pharmasan. On our call, our module, whatever module it was for adrenal, we did a bunch of cases. We looked at BioHealth and Diagnostics, so that's three. And now here, this is the one from Metametrics Genova, which is a little bit, this is Genova. And I actually have one of Metametrics. I don't know if I have that in my samples, but we had one of Metametrics as well, which is a little bit different. So if we look at her values, the way I'm reading this is the blue in the middle is the ideal. That's where we want her to be falling. Okay, and then the yellow outlines the reference range. And then outside of that is definitely problematic. Well, she is in the high range at the top, at the first thing in the morning, and then she's at the high range in most of these, and then she goes up really high at bedtime, which would explain her difficulties with sleep. And let's look at her DHEA, and then I'm going to ask you guys, I'll ask Debbie first, and if Debbie isn't sure, we'll open it up. We want to look at her DHEA is in the red range, right? And I don't know these numbers compared to, but it's really clear it's in the red range, so I don't have to be, you know, kind of guessing at how these ranges compare to the diagnostics. So she's high, normal, and then her DHEA is low. So, Debbie, what stage of adrenal fatigue is your mom in here?
I haven't got a really good feel for the patterns yet, but it's not end stage. I know that because she's not flat.
Mm-hmm.
Is this two?
I think it's two. Yeah, I think it's two. We could say she's got a little bit of tendency towards one, but I would put her in two for sure. Yeah. So if she's game to it to help with her adrenals, we could add some DHEA. But if she's had cancer, you want to be really careful about the DHEA. I don't think there's necessarily an issue, but there might, you know, there's definitely, it's more related to breast cancer issues. They don't like to give people with breast cancer DHEA. Although I think the very careful supplementation of very tiny physiologic doses is not an issue. It's when you get into pharmacologic doses like 25, 50, 75 units a day that you get into a problem. But with the one, you know, two drops of milligrams a day, it's not really that big of an issue. So that could be helpful. Pregnenolone could be an issue. If you look at, I would say the pantothenic acid, because if you look at her cholesterol level, that it's a little bit on the high side. Cholesterol gets converted to pregnenolone and then flows into the whole steroid hormone pathways. So if you could do something that's going to cause her to lower her cholesterol by converting it to pregnenolone, which can then support her DHEA function, wow, that's like a triple whammy. That would be awesome. But again, it means another supplement.
Spell that out again, giving her pantothenic acid. Mm-hmm.
If you can get her on 500 milligrams 2 to 3 times a day. And you can get the 500-milligram caps. I think Thorne has them and Pure Encapsulation. So there's a number of them that have them in that high a dose because that's the typical dose for helping to support adrenal health.
Okay, because I'm a vendor for Pure Encapsulations.
Okay, perfect. Get her some B5 as a starting point.
Okay. That is pantothenic acid, B5?
Pantothenic acid, yep.
Is B5, okay.
Yep. And she can, if you look at, if she's open to it, you're comfortable with it, you can look at giving her some pregnenolone. But that's a good, you want to start with baby steps. I would say start with the pregnenolone. She's used to taking some pills. Give it to her. She
start
may
with the pantothenic acid, you mean?
Yeah.
You mean start with the pantothenic
acid? Start with the pantothenic acid.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the DHEA, you know, if you're comfortable giving her a little bit, she's so low that you can get the drops of DHEA from BioHealth, the brand I mentioned during the adrenal thyroid seminar, and you just give her like three drops three times a day. You could start with one drop three times a day, for God's sake. You know, just kind of monitor. So that's another option. So I'm giving
what
you everything,
be,
and like I said,
would I
we'll
be monitoring? What would I be monitoring? Her energy level?
Her energy level.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's just sublingual?
Yeah. Now, again, let's just remember, Debbie, this test was done November 2011.
Right, right.
So that's why I think I would be more comfortable with the panto.
Get her to do another one.
And then do another one. Do the panto for a couple of months and then do another one.
And if you can see on the commentary, they didn't believe it, but it really took from 8:20 in the morning to 9:35 to get the first two full of
stuff. No, that's what they said.
That's how dry she is. And
well,
it was like, you know, coaching a dog or a horse in a race. Come on, come on, you can do it. Keep going.
So another thing is making sure she is hydrated. And I know she's taking a lot of water, but she may not be absorbing all that water. So make sure she's got half her body weight in fluid ounces. And then add a little bit of extra to that. You might have her add a drop of salt to her water, like a good highly mineralized Himalayan or something.
One thing we haven't covered is the salt loading protocol for bromide excretion.
Hmm. That sounds interesting. Go for it.
Yes. Yes. And that's on one of the websites that gives the iodine protocol for breast cancer and fibrocystic breast disease, but also states that this is just not for breast cancer and other breast disorders. It's for any type of condition resulting from iodine deficiency, which, as we know, is epidemic, especially in modern industrialized world, from Dr. David Brownstein's clinical observations of 3,000 patients, over 95% of them were clinically iodine deficient, severely.
Right.
So, and so I just wanted to.
So the protocol for bromide flushing is on the website, like the Brownstein website, or is it in his book, or where would we find that?
I believe I just provided a link for
great.
Not too long ago in it's breastcancerchoices.org/protocol.html. And it has both the iodine protocol developed by Drs. Brownstein and Abraham, and it also and then below that emphasizes the necessity of doing the iodine loading test combined with the protocol for excreting excess bromide using that salt loading protocol and then pulse dosing with iodine to let the body not be overwhelmed with detoxifying too quickly.
Right.
You cycle on and off and just slowly progress on the detoxifying of the bromine and then fluoride and chloride. And interestingly, Dr. Guy Abraham has also measured increased excretion of toxic metals, including mercury, cadmium, lead. And I know there are individuals on the call today who have been dealing with heavy metal toxicity and detoxification for years. And so wanted to bring that to their attention, the importance
of
iodine. Thank
you. So Debbie, this is something good for you to be looking into, is to look at that site I'm going to save this, and you can also look at the chat log right now and get it. And just to start looking at that and see if you can develop a comfort level around doing that and feeling like this would be helpful for your mom, it could be very helpful.
Hmm. Good ideas. Thank you, Yvette.
Thank you, Yvette.
You're welcome.
Michaeline asks about how about Adrenochrome in the evening for this case, and absolutely some kind of PS in the evening, but again, we're trying to keep it simple and trying to get some of the other things handled, so I'm not sure if that's the highest priority. I'm going to see if I can write on the whiteboard. So, Debbie, let's go through and talk about, well, why don't you read some of that, and I'll just jot down a few things as I can.
Okay. Well, going on the assumption of autoimmune disease, looking at antibodies, conversion, receptors, your first suggestion had been the possibility of adding vitamin A, liquid micellized form.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Selenium, doing an iodine loading test, and possibly starting her on iodine.
Mm-hmm.
You suggested using as much as possible liquid equivalents of all the supplements that she's taking because of her lack of stomach acid with her Prilosec.
Mm-hmm.
You said that she could benefit from DGL even while she's taking the Prilosec, and I might be able to get her to take the chocolate one.
Right. That would be good.
Let's see. Friendly Force, the probiotic. Again, I'm not sure how critical or how high a priority that is since she gets a little bit of probiotic with the vitamin D. Adding cinnamon to some mixes. I don't think that I'm going to realistically be able to get her to go to the hassle of mixing things up in the morning. She's just too tired when she gets up in the morning and needs something simple. Chocolate stevia, I like that idea, and she might like that.
Mm-hmm.
Using dark bottles, dark amber bottles for these things. Let's see, selenium, pantothenic acid.
Mm-hmm.
Changing, if I can get her to get off the coffee, and I don't know if that's possible, to see if she could get an energy boost from green tea and even add the green coffee extract, because Life Extension may have that product. Getting her a Brita water filter. It might be some benefit because I could get her to do that if it's not too heavy for her to lift.
Mm. You can get really little ones that you put under so she have to fill it more often, but they're really small, but they hold maybe a quart. So she'd put it under her faucet. Mm-hmm. She'd put the water in. And if she has one of those faucets that has a little extension, you know, we have one of those in our kitchen, she can actually just sit it on the counter and then bring the little extension over to it so she never has to lift it, and then she can just pour it. It's very easy. It's like pouring a, mm-hmm. you know, quart bottle of soda or something.
Yeah. And you know what? She could leave it on the counter because she does not like it real cold. It makes it harder for her to swallow her pills.
She could leave it right there on the counter.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Someone suggested the Garden of Life Grow Bone System.
Yep.
Which I will look into because I'd like her to get something more effective and less toxic than the Prolia.
Yeah.
Don't know if she would go for getting NTX checked, but I would for me.
Yeah. definitely.
Direct labs, let's see. Absorption. Good at her labs, considering the B12 patch.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned PERC has sublinguals.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're referring to the B12. That was another alternative
right.
if she doesn't want the patch. See if I could get her to do another ASI. I might be able to get her to visit me here in Cincinnati this summer. And if she does, maybe that would be a good time to do some of this. If
that's perfect, because that would be a good amount of time for you to get a few of these things going and then see where it's at.
Mm-hmm. Consider adding the DHEA in small amounts. And is that pretty much equivalent, whatever source I could get that from in a liquid?
If you can get it, the one that I like to use is from BioHealth because it's 1.2 milligrams per, let me look, I have some here. No, I don't have it here. 1.2 milligrams per drop. So a really low dose. So I'm not sure. I know some of them are 5 milligrams, and that's way too much, I think, to start with.
Okay, but that after, what do you keep, a couple of weeks or a month or a couple of months on each dose before you?
Well, on the DHEA, the highest dose you're going to go to is 3 to 4 drops, 3 times a day. Okay, and that's usually in a stage one. So for her, I'd say 3 drops 3 times a day is the max. You could start her at 1, and then you can stay on that for a little bit, and then go to 2, and then stay on that for a little bit, and then go to 3.
Okay, so start out real low, maybe even 1 drop. Couple times
just
a day.
Usually you're testing, what you're doing when you're starting with small doses is just testing for tolerance. So assuming she doesn't break out in a rash or feel agitated or grow a mustache, then that's basically what you're looking for DHEA overdose is masculinization. And you generally don't get it at such low doses. That's what you get when you go to the 10 milligram to 25 milligram capsules 3 times a day. Then you start to worry with females with acne, masculinization, you know, facial hair, et cetera.
Okay.
Aggression, okay. Uncontrollable libido, you know, those sorts of things. And at her age, I doubt she's going to have uncontrollable libido.
Okay.
Then we'll know at least it's working, and we just have to find the right dose.
Yeah. Her jokes may change. Maybe I'll tell
Yeah. She'll be able to tell by her jokes.
I have to interject a story here for a little humor for the whole group. She was having some blood pressure fluctuations, pretty significant blood pressure fluctuations, and she brainstormed with my sisters and told the doctor she had figured out the cause of the blood pressure. Are you all sitting down? She was reading 50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, jeez. What the heck was she reading that for?
That's how she got her jollies.
Oh,
but that's when her blood pressure started shooting up.
Oh,
when
how
she
funny.
Was reading.
Well, you may have to watch out for overdosing on the DHEA then. Oh, funny.
Okay, pantothenic acid.
Yep.
500 milligrams 2 or 3 times a day. Capsules on that. Make sure the hydration. And that was the gist of it.
Okay. All right. So
I may tell her about all these things and ask her which would she like to do. Would she be willing to do to start with one of these that might help her feel better?
Okay. Now, biggies, right? So you also write down the thyroid. Try to get a thyroid panel done so we can really figure out where she's at with this.
Yeah.
So try to get them to run a complete thyroid panel. You want T4, T3, reverse T3, whatever you can get them to run, as much as you can get.
And would you do both TPO and the other antibodies?
I would, because she has a hard time getting blood out. So I would test as much as you can on one shot. Because typically what I would do, since TPO, about 80% of people with Hashimoto's will have TPO, but some don't. So I would run that. If we're trying to save money, I would run that. But if it's easy for them to get back to the lab and they don't mind going back to the lab. But on somebody who has a needle phobia, lives a long distance from the lab, you know, any other difficulties with that, just spend the extra money and get it all done at one time. So I would do both.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's high on my list if I can get her to do it. And if her doctor won't order it, her issue is she has to pay out of pocket, and I'll pay for it, Mom. Would you go?
Right.
She doesn't want the needle. She doesn't want the pay. Yeah. You know, she's got a lot of issues about it, but that's been high on my list for a long time. Yeah.
That's definitely, because you can then really, you'll have more leverage with her, too, if it's on lab rather than just it being you guessing. Well, Mom, this is what I'm assuming you have because of the way you're presenting.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Sounds good. Very good suggestions. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank everyone else for their suggestions, too.
Okay, great. Super. Thank you, Debbie.
Would you recommend that for a client who has a long history of metabolic disorders across the board?
Sure. I mean, absolutely.
Okay.
And it's especially good for like a neurotransmitter problems. Like rather than, there's a lot of controversy, and we'll hear about that when I do the neurotransmitter talk, about whether testing neurotransmitters directly makes any sense, really. Are we really testing what's in the brain? But when you test the organic acids and you see the metabolic byproducts, you can see where the sticking points are as we went through. So anybody that has a history of metabolic stuff, of depression stuff, of things that are really out of whack that we're not really sure about, organic acids can actually find you the spots where the pathways are getting stuck. And then you can go to what nutrients, what foods, what what lifestyle things are causing those to get stuck and switch those around. So, yeah,
which in your opinion would be kind of the best overall test to start with if we're just beginning to assess someone?
It depends on how they're presenting. If you're talking about you wanting the metabolic assessment of all the pathways, organic acids, but I don't start with organic acids because I usually start with the basic stuff. Because it's like you start with the basic building blocks and get those fixed unless they've already done the basic building blocks. So the people
and
I've
by
researched.
By basic building blocks, would you mean, for instance, Meridian Valley, Ultra, 24-hour urine, the ASI?
No. The basic building blocks, no. I mean, you've looked at their diet and you've corrected all the crap in their diet. And you've looked at the obvious stuff in looked at the thyroid in the basic comprehensive wellness profile and look to see, and if they're presenting with thyroid type issues, you want to fix the thyroid and get some of the basic stuff handled, the way things you know how to do before you start going in too deep. Because
what
a lot
I mean,
of those metabolic pathways will get corrected.
Right. What I'm meaning here is specifically for a patient who has been medically diagnosed with a severe thyroid disorder and probably has a severe adrenal disorder, may have severe liver dysfunction. And
I'd start with the adrenals and thyroid, like I said, to begin with. And if she's willing to go with the 24-hour, go there. I would get that stuff handled. Then I would go with organic acids and amino acids if there's still problems. Because you make corrective things. It's like somebody comes in and they're eating McDonald's every day and there's no semblance of good nutrition there. I'm not going to start them with a bunch of lab tests. I'm going to start them with, well, you know, the obvious. It's going to show up that you're deficient in a lot of things. It's going to show up with a lot of problems. Why don't we just correct some of the things we can? Right? So you don't want to, even if somebody has unlimited funds, you don't want to over-test because also it can be very confusing. So then you get back all of these results at the same time and you see all of these things and then you feel overwhelmed, like, where should I start? So you got to get the digestion, thyroid, and adrenals handled. Because they will cause problems elsewhere. The liver, you know, you start with what I call everyday detox and ERC, right? The things you can do on a daily basis to decrease the toxic load for that person and increase the ability to handle it.
Yes.
So it's those basic things before we start looking at other things. And a lot of times there's some really basic nutrition and really basic lifestyle things that can be put into place. Like I wish, you know, for Debbie's mom, if it was an ideal world, we'd take Debbie's mom and do her diet overhaul, and then we'd see that so many of her problems clear up because so much of it is blood sugar imbalance, thyroid, and adrenal, but blood sugar imbalance, thyroid, and what was the other thing I was going to say?
Stomach acid,
right. So the basic stuff, and we get those things taken care of. You get the reflux taken care of, get her off the Prilosec, get her stomach to be producing acid, get her handling the blood sugar, which contributes to the thyroid anyway, and we could see some major changes, right? But she's not in a position to make that major dietary overhaul. Then that's when you get into more of the testing.
Very important points.
And very
important.
I think it's
in
a lot
of prioritizing.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And could I say, well, it's more important to look at digestion first or thyroid first or adrenal first because they all so intertwine that you can be doing a little bit for each of those to help and support and kind of find the cog in the wheel that's going to help you to move the person forward. That's what's really important. That's why I think a lot of the functional medicine trainings, while they're really excellent, they miss the piece about really handling the underlying nutrition and lifestyle pieces. They kind of say, eat a balanced diet or get off of this or do that, but it's really providing people with the tools, like telling Debbie, make your mom some chocolates, that you know, get her off of the sweet stuff, make her some chocolates that are low glycemic.
Right. The protocols and dietary and lifestyle suggestions you're making are what will make all the difference in getting better results. Mm-hmm. And then it's all a matter of how capable is that person of implementing the results in their life.
Right.
And
that's where you have
like
to work
Debbie's
with
Debbie's mom, who's so much older and in an assisted living situation, is more limited, whereas my potential client is middle age and is highly motivated and can is willing to do anything to get better and
she is going to
defy the life sentence of you're always going to be on medication. You've got no choice.
She's going to.
I don't want that.
Yeah, she's going to because she has that motivation. She's not going to go, well, I don't want to take that because it doesn't taste good. And I don't want to give that up because I can't go out with my friends then. No, those are the people that are going to get the best results. And I've seen it. I've seen thyroid antibodies reverse in 6 months. And then there's cases where there's other complicating factors that you have to really dig and you have to do all the lab testing. But, yes, start with her with some stuff to basically see where you can go, get her thyroid and her adrenals working, get her on a low-glycemic diet, get her off of the gluten and the dairy and, identify any other food sensitivities, and you're going to be probably 80% there.
Wow, that's
it's the 80-20
rule. Summarization and prioritization of what is applicable for her and also what's applicable for someone like Debbie's mom. You did a great, contrast for those two very different situations of how to handle differing needs and differing stage of life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Right. And Debbie's working with her mom, and that's the difference between you working with somebody who's paying you to help them get better. It's a big difference. And the mom-daughter relationship, I couldn't help my own mom. You know the story.
I do.
Yeah.
You're limited with what you can do, and especially if there are siblings involved who are in conflict, and if you're dealing with a conventional medical doctor who's opposed and closed-minded, it just really constricts and limits you what you can do.
And I would say, all kudos to Debbie's mom, because Debbie's mom is doing more than most people's moms do, right?
Debbie's
mom is taking that stuff, and she's willing to make the
wonderful
changes. So Debbie,
wonderful.
Good
she's
job.
To be, she is so to be praised and commended for what she's doing for mom, and her mom, too,
for what she's
willing to try. Yeah.
Right. That long list of supplements, my mom, she balked when I said, every time you smoke a cigarette, take one of these vitamin C's to counteract the loss that you have. And she came back and didn't do it. And I said, why didn't you do it? She goes, I was afraid. I didn't know what the side effects of the vitamin C were.
No.
Can you imagine?
My God. I know.
But I'm not afraid of the smoke.
It's so discouraging, isn't it?
Cigarettes, right? We know what the side effects are. They killed her. They killed her. And she was afraid of vitamin C. I argued with her about protein and amino acids, and she wanted to be the expert. And I'm like, Mom, I kept thinking all I needed to do is get the degrees, right? Then she'd listen to me. And I've got a master's in nutrition, Mom. I think I know a little bit more than that food editor at the Daily News that wrote, about whatever he wrote about that you're arguing with me about. And she just. So, it's our family. You got to love them, and you got to let them, you got to give them what you can, and you just got to let them go and not create the adversity in the relationship trying. And Debbie has the right attitude. She goes, no, I don't think she's going to try that, but yeah, she might be open to that. And she's very realistic about it and not pushing her mom because she doesn't want to push her away too far. And that's a great way to be. So, congratulations.
Or the other
family members. That's a challenge. Yeah, that's a very, very big challenge.